Rick Sanchez here. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about on this day.
They have, and she has, destroyed our country.
This is someone who has openly said he would terminate, I'm quoting, terminate the Constitution of the United States.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
You talk about extreme.
As debates go, it was nasty, it was weird, it was short on details, short on policy, and it may be the undoing of one of those candidates. Which one, though, and why? I'm Rick Sanchez. Let's do this. I guess we could probably say this, no matter who you were pulling for or no matter who you think won the debate at this point in time, there is no denying that Kamala Harris and her team came up with some kind of plan to bait Donald Trump. And we saw it right from the very beginning when she played him and he seemed to kind of fall for her trap. Watch this.
Kamala Harris. Let's have a good debate.
Nice to see you. Have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, he didn't really even come out to shake her hand. He was going in the opposite direction. So she kind of had to chase him down. She went over to him, surprised him, it looked like, by saying, you know, hi, my name is Kamala Harris, referring to all the times that he's mispronounced her name. For his part, Trump never really said her name, even during the debate, barely looked at her during the debate, and it kind of became obvious, right? Right away that these two people, let's just say it like it is, they do not like each other at all.
Look, we've had a terrible economy because inflation has, which is really known as a country buster, it breaks up countries. We have inflation like very few people have ever seen before, probably the worst in our nation's history. We were at 21%, but that's being generous because many things are 50, 60, 70, and 80% higher than they were just a few years ago. They have, and she has, destroyed our country with policy that's insane. Almost policy that you'd say they have to hate our country.
Joining us to break all of this down, and there is a lot to talk about, we've got Craig Giardulla and Angie Wong. Guys, Craig, let me just start with you. That move that she did at the beginning, obviously it was orchestrated, but what do you think of it?
I think it worked to perfection. I mean, we saw in her first interview or whatever it was that she said she was going to take the high road. When she was asked a question about Donald Trump and his language, she says, I'm not going to answer that. Next question. So I think this taking the high road and allowing Trump to defeat himself is working effectively.
If that was the very first bait that he took, it continued throughout the night. Angie, let me bring you into this. The big talk ever since this happened is that it looked like she came in with a plan to bug him, to get him angry, to get him to sweat, which, by the way, we saw in him. Do you think that was the orchestrated plan? Do you think she was able to pull it off? And do you think that he took the bait?
Yeah, well, absolutely. What we saw last night was the prosecutor going for her defendant. And that's exactly the roles that they play. I am surprised that Donald Trump fell for that, that he took the bait, that he took the trigger words and responded exactly the way Democrats wanted him to respond, which was about all his big accomplishments, I was really surprised that Donald Trump's team did not prepare him for this, because that is clearly something that was baited, and he fell for it for 90 minutes. And at some point, I wish he would have kind of realized what was going on.
Is it that they didn't prepare him for it, or it's just hard to tell a 79-year-old man what to do, as I learned when my dad was getting old?
No, I think they were expecting Joe Biden debate part two. And no, seriously, I think that's what they were expecting, because the bar was so low for Kamala Harris and the bar was so high for Donald Trump that, you know, those were the expectations going in. Yep. We have yet to really see Kamala Harris speak for the last 55 days. So it was really strange that she really rose to the occasion and she played the prosecutor and she played it very well. Unfortunately, she knew all the trigger words and all of the defenses that Trump had to take on. Because I gotta tell you, fact checking it today, there was a lot of lies told, but it was really meant as a strategy to trigger Donald Trump, and it worked.
Sounds like what Angie's saying is, Craig, that she met the expectation that most people did not have of her. Do you agree, Craig?
Yeah, I agree somewhat, but, you know, I do question the debate prep going on over here. I mean, you brought Tulsi on in. He could have used the Tulsi line that Tulsi used against Kamala Harris when they were talking about the mischaracterization of, you know, Donald Trump calling her black or if she's not black. He even praised ventilators and masks at one point. Where's RFK in this whole thing? I mean, the team better get their stuff together quickly because they are starting to fall.
All right, let's continue this. As the night wore on, she continued baiting him, and she even got him to talk about his crowd size, knowing that he wouldn't be able to resist the urge to go there. As Angie just mentioned, by the way, she seemed to be told almost as if she were coached. If he says this, then you say this. Get him to talk about this stuff, and that will make him then look angry. And that kind of seemed to work. In fact, much of the debate was about just that, not civility on either side, really, by the way, although Mr. Trump seemed to display it more, but rather just anger and insults. Watch.
She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well.
What do you think of her appearance off camera? A lot of people today are talking about the fact that she was playing to the camera better than he was throughout the debate. Angie, I'll let you start us off here.
Well, I mean, look, we're all here in television. We know media. Did you ever see anything but a side profile of Kamala Harris? I thought that was really interesting. And they also, you know, framed her just right, where she was on par with the same size as the president. All of it worked. Clearly, the producers knew what they were doing behind the scenes. And I think that's why my camp has been saying all morning, oh, it was ABC against Donald Trump, right? And I get that as a scapegoat, but these are all things that could have, you know, been handled prior to airing this live debate. And that's where I have to say, on Trump's team, they should have known this. They should have fought for, you know, something that was going to be a lot more favorable. And ultimately, you know what? Side by side, they learned from Joe Biden. You know, because that's what really killed him back in June, right, during their debate, having like the deer in headlights stare for 90 minutes. I don't know if you noticed this, but in the Joe Biden debate back in June, the last 30 minutes, they did not do the close-ups. They pulled out, and it was a two-shot.
Listen, I get it, but you know what? When you're blaming the moderators and the TV camera angles, that means your side lost. Because, I mean, I'm sorry, but am I when you come out the next day and you're saying, well, the problem was they cheated, that usually means you lost the debate. That's how, and by the way.
I'll give it to you, Rick.
And by the way, I would say to the Trump side, of course ABC is going to favor her. It's ABC News. They're lefties. They're both of those moderators will vote for Kamala Harris. I will stake my life on that. So.
Yeah,
big
Trump
deal.
Did not have a good night.
Big deal. I mean, that Craig, am I wrong? Help me out here.
You're not wrong at all. And I think that a lot of people just have to realize that this isn't the Trump of 2016. Where's the guy who was talking about getting us out of NATO? Where was the guy who was pointing the fingers to the donors, right? As they're the problem. Now all he's doing is blaming immigrants left and right. I mean, he must have said it about seven times.
Yeah.
This is just not the same candidate, and they better get their stuff together, otherwise they're going to lose this election.
Well, Trump was not able to disguise his anger. There's no question about that. While she was generally able to do so with that, you know, thing that she does, which, you know, look, she's a younger woman. She's an attractive. She presents well. So, you know, good on her. Still, because neither candidate, certainly not Ms. Harris, were detailing, to Angie's point, or explaining what their policies would be, the debate seemed like a draw up until the middle. He was certainly aggressive, but so was she.
This is someone who has openly said he would terminate, I'm quoting, terminate the Constitution of the United States, that he would weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. Someone who has openly expressed disdain for members of our military. Understand what it would mean if Donald Trump were back in the White House with no guardrails, because certainly we know now the court won't stop him. We know J.D. Vance is not going to stop him.
What did you think of her general arguments throughout the debate, Craig? I didn't hear a lot of policy stuff, by the way, except 7,000 for these and 20,000 for those. But, I mean, everybody can say that when there's nothing to back it up. How did you see her performance in terms of policy?
Well, I thought it was empty platitudes. Listen, everybody's talking about how bad that Donald Trump did, but Kamala Harris didn't get any new voters yesterday. This was nothing but empty platitudes, Project 2025.
But did he lose? But no, that's interesting what you just said. You just said something really interesting. She didn't gain any, but did he lose some because of his emotional outbursts and anger and the sweat and all that other stuff?
No. Not at all. I mean, because everybody who was going to vote for Donald Trump after last night is still going to vote for Donald Trump. And everybody who was going to vote for Kamala Harris.
But what about the independents? What about the undecideds?
They're still up for grabs. I think they're going to sit this one out if they continue to see debates like this. So if they do have a second debate, you're going to see a lot of independents sit this one out.
What do you think, Angie?
Yeah, it pains me to say this as a MAGA Republican, but I think Kamala Harris, you know what she showed us yesterday? She showed us that she can compete with Donald Trump. That's all that we needed to see. A candidate who can actually stand up to Donald Trump, and she pulled that off. And that's me saying that. That's not my party line. I'm not in the spin room here. She really did pull it off, and I think that's what gave Democrats the confidence to come out and endorse her. Look, you had Taylor Swift, who came out this morning to endorse her after seeing her performance.
She's a lot of singer.
People were waiting for her.
Singer, right? Taylor what? She's a singer or something?
Taylor Swift.
I'm kidding.
You know that? That girl?
No, I know. Anybody under the age of, I guess, 40 is freaking out because Taylor Swift is telling them who to vote for. Not that I think it's all that significant, but I certainly think it'll make a lot of... In the end, I think she listened to her handlers. Seemed to me like the Democrats are good at this. You said earlier, it was produced. They coached her. They told her what to say, when to say it, how to say it, how to push his buttons. And I think you said it best. He couldn't resist, right? He fell into the trap. That's what we got.
Yeah, absolutely. He fell into the trap over and over again. And you know what? Donald Trump reverted back to the MAGA rally Trump with his talking points. And some of this, you know, this is the stuff that Democrats find as red meat. They were looking for that Donald Trump. They were looking for the guy who's going to talk about the dogs and the cats and eating them and all. You know, it was the wrong tone. His handlers, Trump's handlers, should have informed him who the audience was.
Yes.
And I thought the audience was, you know, mainly Democrats for the most part, and, you know, Republicans as well, but female. And he missed that opportunity to reach out to the crossover female vote.
We're going to talk a little bit about that at the other side of the break. And here's what we're also going to do. We're going to break down where the electoral map stands right now. We will unveil for you our interactive map so that you can see what has to happen for Mr. Trump to win or for Ms. Harris to win. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, so welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm joined once again by Craig Pastajardula and Angie Wong, and we're having an important conversation recapping last night's presidential debate, which I guarantee you was seen by probably a record audience last night, because just about everybody I know who knows nothing about politics and doesn't give a hoot about news has somehow reached out to me or my wife or somebody in my family today to want to talk about what they saw last night in the debate. So this thing had probably a Super Bowl-sized audience. So here's what we need to do, though. Let me bring you up to date on where exactly we are right now as far as the battleground states go, because this is where this election is going to be heard. You heard the New York Times has Trump now winning by one. Well, that's the national poll. American elections for president are decided by state electorally, and that's why we need to go to this map. It's on the back wall. We're going to show it to you right there. See it right there, just on the other side of Craig. All right, now let's take it tight so we can see the whole thing, because I'm going to take you through where we stand right now on this map. I'm going to go ahead and show you the states. You see these states right here? Georgia, North Carolina, all the states that you see in beige, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, they're in beige because they're too close to call. I mean, they're what they call swing states. Nobody knows how those states are going to go. But I'm going to tell you that right now, looking at the numbers we know, Kamala Harris will probably win Wisconsin, so we're going to make that blue. And Donald Trump is winning enough in Arizona to give him that one, so we're going to make that one red. But then we have the rest of these states. First thing I want to show you is a path to victory for Kamala Harris. The very simple path for Kamala Harris is She wins Michigan, which is not unlikely, right? So we're going to make that blue. And she wins Pennsylvania. Now, Kamala Harris wins those three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Key by the door. That's it. She pretty much has the election at this time. And I'm sorry, Arizona should be red. I apologize for that. Let's go back to that. So let me show you this again. Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, blue. Kamala Harris wins. Is there another way that she can win? Yeah, she could actually lose Pennsylvania, but win Georgia. I'm going to make that blue. And win Nevada, which she could win, by the way, because she's ahead right now. And there again, she wins. She could also, guys, lose Georgia. Let's give that to Trump. And win Pennsylvania. All right? Here we go. Give me Pennsylvania. And there she also wins. So she has three paths to victory at this point, Craig. How significant is that?
It's very significant. You know, I mean, I always look at how people vote rather than who they vote for. And I think a lot of those rules are going to affect how this election is going to go. I think mass mail-in absentee ballots do favor the Democrats. So you got to look at states like Nevada that are going to automatically, I think, go to Kamala Harris. But it's going to be tough for her to pull this off personally. I don't see her winning Wisconsin or Arizona. I think it's going to come down to Pennsylvania, your original theory.
Okay.
That whoever wins Pennsylvania will win this election.
All right, let's reset the map then. Let's do this. Behind there, you see, let's take this full now again. Angie, I'm going to come to you. Let's look at Trump's path to victory here. Trump needs to win Pennsylvania. He needs to win North Carolina, which is very likely, by the way. He needs to win Georgia, which is also likely. That's it. He's got 270. And of course, if we throw in Arizona, which he's winning by, you know, not a significant number, but he's winning. And historically, it's been a state lately that's gone Republican. That's his path to victory. How do you feel about that?
I mean, we see where the ad buys are going. I mean, and we are seeing where the ad dollars are going. It is only going to those states. In fact, in southern Georgia, Trump pulled some of his ad buys, which I found really surprising. So he must be pretty secure there. I think absolutely Pennsylvania is the battleground state. He needs the Rust Belt, which is why J.D. Vance is only spending his time there, and he is Mr. Rust Belt. I think the union is going to maybe pull it for Kamala Harris. I think that's something that we can never sidestep on that. Wisconsin's could be very interesting as well. I don't think that's entirely locked down. But North Carolina, 100%. I've been campaigning in North Carolina. It is going to go towards Trump. It's already +3 for Trump in early voting.
Yeah, the numbers I see in Arizona have him up by quite a bit. The numbers I see in Wisconsin have her up by quite a bit. That's why I'm figuring right now, and these things can change overnight, as we know, we could give him those states. But the rest of it, it's up for grabs. It can go anywhere. And right now, he's leading in Pennsylvania, but by like half a point. So it really comes down to these states, as we just broke it down for the folks who are watching us. Let's do this. Let's continue the conversation about what's happening with the debate from last night and the reaction that we're seeing. One of the things that happened last night was Trump was able to score some points in an area where the Biden-Harris team is particularly soft. Its handling of the Ukraine war. There, Trump was able to explain how they have mismanaged this situation. Trump avoided the trap question, I don't know if you've noticed, of whether or not he wanted Ukraine to win, as the moderators asked him to kind of put him in a very difficult place. Instead, Trump said, I just want the war to end, and I want people to stop dying. While she, Kamala Harris, talking about lethality and military once again, seemed hawkish.
I want to get the war settled. I know Zelensky very well, and I know Putin very well. I have a good relationship, and they respect your president, okay? They respect me.
What'd you think of that, Craig?
I thought it was his best moment of the night. I mean, there was a lot of missed opportunities, but that right there, when he said, I want to end this war and I want to save some lives. Listen, I can go talk to Putin. I can go talk to Zelensky. Kamala, she went over and talked to him. And a couple days later, next thing you know, Putin's invading Ukraine. So this was his best moment of the night. It wasn't my favorite. My favorite is when he says, I'm talking. Does it sound familiar? But by far, this was his best moment of the night.
You know, and he didn't take the trap, Angie. This is the one time where the moderator tried to trap him and say, you're going to vote for the moderator, who's a Democrat, obviously, seemed to be saying to him, Ukraine to win this war, don't you? Say it. Go ahead. Say it. And he didn't, right? I mean, he was judicious and diplomatic about it, right?
Yeah, and he tried getting Kamala Harris to say, well, did you meet with Putin? Did you meet with them? Look, it was great. Trump said, I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call both men. We're going to figure this stuff out. What I found interesting was who looked more like the commander-in-chief answering that question. And I think that, you know, in itself wins brownie points, even if it's not a spoken, even if it's not about the words and the rhetoric and the policies. It was just who looked better as your commander in chief? Who do you feel safer running this world, him or her? Yeah. And I think that's where Trump really won, to me anyway. I mean, it was the delivery as much as it was the words.
Here's the big takeaway, though. And this is the thing that I think a lot of people are going to be talking about. And certainly this is the one thing that more progressive media like CNN and NBC and ABC are celebrating today. And you're going to see these clips over and over again. She definitely got under his skin. She did it intentionally. At times he seemed overly sweaty, overly angry, insulting. And those are the clips that are going to be seen by hundreds of millions of people who did not watch the debate. And those other clips are going to be seen by people who turn the debate off after only 5 or 6 minutes and watch the football or baseball game. And that Democrats are not going to play over and over and over again with an onslaught of donor money they will likely collect from this debate. That's the reality, right? Probably no moment captured that type of undisciplined Trump, the opposite of the Trump we just talked about, more than this one. Watch this exchange.
Have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country and look at what's happening to the towns all over the United States. And a lot of towns don't want to talk. It's not going to be Aurora or Springfield. A lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food. So maybe he said that, and maybe that's a good thing to say for a city manager.
I'm not taking this from
television.
But the
people are on
television
saying their dog was eaten by the people that went there.
Again, the Springfield city manager says there's no evidence of that. Vice President Harris, I'll let you respond to the rest of what you've heard.
You talk about extreme. this is, I think, one of the reasons why in this election, I actually have the endorsement of 200 Republicans.
I don't think it was a good moment for him, Craig.
No, it was a bad moment. Unfortunately for Kamala Harris, she went into the endorsements of the Republicans and Dick Cheney. I don't know where she was going with it. We usually hate her cackle. This is the time we said that cackle is merited because what Donald Trump was saying was absurd. And he wasn't just saying that they eat cats and dog ricks. He was saying they eat their people's cats and dogs who live in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
This is crazy. This is absurd. And this is going to be played on TikTok all over the place.
Yeah, and when he said, I know it because I saw it on TV, I mean, Mr. President, if I was one of his advisors, I'd say, here's the things you don't want to talk about today. Be careful when you talk about abortion, about killing fetuses after they're born. Be careful about describing immigrants as people who are horrible people who just go around eating other people's. Don't say those things. Yeah. I mean, Angie, to you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, this is where his team failed over and over again. Look, it showed off that childish high school prankster Donald Trump. That's exactly what Democrats wanted. And she baited him, the moderators baited him, and he fell for it. I've been watching Donald Trump's social media. Yeah, you could pull it off in social media. You could pull it off in memes. You could make fun of and make light of the fact that, yeah, they may be eating cats and dogs, and maybe your cats and dogs. Mm. You do that on social media. You don't bring it to a serious debate stage where you're supposed to be talking about policies, when you're trying to sell yourself to be the next world leader. I'm saying this as a MAGA Republican. I know that he failed on it, and I cringed when he was saying these words. Look, he's done excellent campaigning for the last 2 years since he announced that he was going to run. I'll let him have one night of oopses. One night, okay?
Do you think, down to a minute here, but do you think he's too much in a bubble? Do you think he lives mostly in that Truth Social world where he says this because he's used to people, Craig, I'll let you shoot at this, where he's used to people saying, yeah, of course they eat their cats, and he would, where he hasn't been challenged enough on this kind of stuff?
Absolutely. Look, Alex Jones made this tweet about the cats and the dogs, and it got millions of views. He's living in that world. He needs a transition. When you're on TV, you're on TV. You're not in social media, like Angie said.
Yeah, that's what they tell us in television. You either have a general audience or a local audience. You're going to a general audience. Angie, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, absolutely right. I want him to do over. I want him to take a second debate. Now that he knows that he's not debating Joe Biden 2.0, he's got to step it way up, because he may not have lost brownie points yesterday, but he certainly was not on his game. That was not the Donald Trump I wanted to see. I want a do over, and I want it soon.
All right, and it might happen. Apparently, there's some talk that the two might get together, and there's even talk that there might be, this time moderated by Fox, which would come from an interesting and different perspective, I would imagine. Angie, delightful. Thanks so much for being with us. Craig, as usual, you too. That's our show. Remember, always look outside your own box when you're looking for truths. Truths, they don't live in boxes, as we like to say. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you next time.